The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
So while I was here last night, just praying and seeking the Lord, I felt like God didn't change my sermon this time, so that's good. I still have that same sermon. But I felt like God had another thing he just laid on my heart. Just for this beginning. So maybe this is like sermon part one. I don't know, whatever you want to say. But maybe it's just something that will bless someone here today. It's been a kind of a hard week in the Alf household. Peyton, our oldest, has been sick for several days. You always know, man, whenever you have a child sick, it's no fun. And he's been miserable, and it seems like every day he's getting worse. And I have to say, even when I was here last night praying, half of my prayers, I think, were for my own son last night, just because, I mean, he just has so much going up against him right now. I mean, double ear infection, and one of his ears ruptured, and he had coughing and sneezing and snot, and he can't breathe, and then he spiked a temperature, and he threw up several times, and as a father, I mean, as a parent, I should say. I just know as a father, but as a parent, we're all the same. You know how it is when your kid is sick. You want to take that from them. You want them to be better. You even wish, man, I wish I could take it, right? That I could be sick instead of you. And Saturday, he hardly slept at all Saturday night. Well, Friday night, Saturday morning. He came into our room. Tiffany got up with him and just had this massive earache. And the only rest he received was when Tiffany just sat on the couch and laid his head on her lap. And then he fell asleep. And he received peace. Finally, he received rest. And I was reminded of that when I was a kid. Of like all the ear infections that I had, and it seemed like the time that I can rest was when my mom stayed up with me and just laid me on her lap. And I was reminded once again yesterday of God is that person for us. And that maybe today there might be some of you who are hurting or who's in pain, maybe who's sick. And God is saying, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, all who have pain, and I will give you rest. And I think for some, maybe this is just the word that you need to hear today. I don't know. But the word of God saying, come to me, lay your head on my lap, dwell with me, and rest. And so maybe some of you just need rest. I think some people took that literally in first service. But maybe some of you just need to rest in the arms of the Lord. And then I was reminded, if I want the very best, of course, for my son, and if I want to take his pain away, how much more does God want that for us? We are his children, and he just wants to lavish his love upon us. And so after I spent a while just praying for my son, then I spent a while here just dwelling in the presence of the Lord as the child of God and worshiping him and just receiving his love. So maybe that's you today. Maybe that word is for you. I don't know. Let's pray. God, thank you for this, for your word here as we dive into it. Lord, I pray that your word will come alive to us, that you will meet us where we are. Lord, thank you for this, for these seven letters that we have, that we are looking through. Lord, I am thankful of what I hear. Lord, you're speaking to a lot of people through your word. And Lord, we're grateful for that. So may we be open. May our hearts be ready for the word that you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, are you ready to dive in? Yeah. Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 7. This is the letter to the church in Philadelphia. Not the one in Pennsylvania. The one a long ways from there. You see the map there. You see where Philadelphia is. Just south of Sardis. It is way off the coast. Here's an interesting thing about Philadelphia. It's a city, just like some of the cities around it, though. It's definitely not as big as some of the cities that are on the coast. It's a little bit smaller. But when Jesus wrote this letter to the church of Philadelphia, the city was going through fear and turmoil. Because in 17 AD, the whole city of Philadelphia was pretty much destroyed or devastated by a massive earthquake. And so people in Philadelphia have been living in fear. To a point where if they had to rebuild or move, many people started moving outside of the city, on the outskirts of the city, because they were afraid to be in the city itself. That tells you a little bit about Philadelphia. Philadelphia was also founded by the citizens of Pergamum. You see Pergamum up there. We went through that letter several weeks ago. So they were kind of founded by some of those citizens that started then Philadelphia. An interesting thing that we're going to notice here, though, in this letter of Philadelphia, most of the letters, Jesus always has something against them. This is what I have against you. This is something you're not doing well at, right? Every letter has been like that. Sardis has been the only letter that he hasn't had any good things to say about them. He only had bad things to say. Philadelphia, though, we don't see really anything in this letter that he really has against them. It's a letter of just encouragement. So let's start reading. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia writes, these are the words of him who is holy and true. Okay, so Jesus always starts a letter out by describing himself in a way. Here he's describing himself in two ways, holy, true, right? When I look at those two words, this is what I see. Holy means divine, godly. This is him who is God, who is divine. True means faithful. This is him who is faithful to us. No matter what you're going through, maybe you've been through a devastating earthquake and it's destroyed your city. This is a God who is God and who is faithful. He is faithful to us. No matter what we're going through, he is faithful. And then he says, and this person, Jesus, holds the key of David. What does that mean? It means Jesus has all the power and authority. If you want some power, like in a campus, get to be good friends with a janitor who has the key to every single building, right? And you might say, oh, no, but the president has a lot of power too. Well, that's true. The president of the campus probably does. But what if the president of the campus loses his key? Guess where they go? To the one who holds the key, right? The janitor or whoever that person is. Jesus is saying, I have all power and authority. I hold the key to the door. What door is he talking about? He tells us the next line. Because what he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. Have you ever prayed for open and closed doors? God, if this is your will you open up the door, right? God, if this is not your will you close it? This is what it's talking about here. Here's the problem, though, I think, that some of us face sometimes. Sometimes we try to open up our own doors. Or maybe a door that he shut, we're saying, no, I don't want that door to shut. And we do everything we can to try to reopen it, right? But what does the scripture say? What he shuts, no one can open. But what he opens, no one can shut. Why? Because who holds the key? Jesus does. He has all the authority. And so, we as humans need to really watch ourselves that we truly want God to open and close the doors, and we need to step back because we don't have the key. Even as much as we think we might, we don't have the key. Jesus does. And he's the one to open and close the doors. And maybe there are some here that maybe you've been praying, God, will you just open a door? And you're waiting for a door to be open. Maybe you've heard that sound way too often of that door slamming shut that God closes, right? There's a plaque that I read not too long ago. Is if God has closed a door to one room, praise him while you're in the hallway and you're waiting for the next door to open. So maybe you're in the midst of waiting for a door to be open. If that's the case, wait and wait patiently. We're going to see that later on in this letter. So what he closes, no one can open. And what he opens, no one can close. And then he says these four words in verse 8, these same four words that we see in every single letter. I know your deeds. He knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows what we're facing. He knows the struggles. He knows the joys. Jesus knows. See, I have placed before you, oh, get this. He's placed before you not a closed door, but an open door that no one can shut. So it goes back to Jesus is faithful, right? He's God and he's faithful. He's holy and he's true. He's a faithful God and he has a door ready to be open. He has a door ready to be open that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Maybe some of you feel that way today. You just feel like you have little strength, or you're getting tired, you're getting weary. I'm reminded of the passage that says, in our weakness, he makes us strong, right? So he knows, He knows of our weakness. He knows that we don't have a lot of strength left. But he's saying in the midst of that, hold on. In the midst of that, even in the midst of our weakness, we've kept his word. We have proclaimed his name. Jesus is saying, in the midst of all this that you're going through, you have still praised me. It's easy to praise God when everything is going great, isn't it? But praising God in the storms, praising God through trials, praising God even after he closes a door. Still praising him. When we think about these open and closed doors, sometimes though, people get so caught up with and so focused on all the doors he closes, where maybe we don't even realize the doors that he is starting to open. Maybe because we're afraid of what that door might lead to. But if God is opening up a door, we need to go through it. But we need to be careful that we don't try to make it our own agenda. This is the word that I want to hear. This is the door that I want Jesus to open. And so I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that this door is open, right? Again, we don't hold the key. We can't force things open. He will bless. He will bless the open doors. And he will even bless us as he closes the door, and we need to trust in him. Verse 9. I will make those who are the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews though they are not, but are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. We see that phrase once again. We see it in another letter, maybe even two letters. Synagogue of Satan. Big phrase. What does that mean? Well, he kind of explains it here. It means someone who comes to church, who worships, but who does not follow. Someone who's going through all the motions, right? And doing all the things. They're coming to church and doing all the stuff, but they are not following Jesus. Or what this says in here, synagogue, they're not Jews. So it's saying these people. For these people what Jesus is saying, maybe these people have tormented some others, or it's been hard to be with them. What Jesus is saying, he who has all the power and authority, he will allow those people at some point to come before your feet, and he is going to proclaim to them, I love you. This is the one I love. I love you. He'll provide for us. He'll take care of us. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. In my Bible, I underlined, I'm not sure when I did it, but I underlined these two words, endure patiently. These are two very critical words. And I think these are two words that Jesus really wants this church, wants his church to understand. That through it all, through all the hard times, through all the closed doors, we need to endure patiently. There was a time in our life, I was a youth pastor at the time. I felt God calling me to become a senior pastor, a lead pastor, and felt like the church that we were at, they were going through some changes, and that God was calling us to serve somewhere else. And so, when we were in the midst of that, I knew that God was calling me to this, but there was nothing open yet. And so for about 5 or 6 months, at the time we only had Peyton, we only had one kid. But we were living in a basement in the middle of springtime, which is really hard to live in a basement in the spring. Like, no sunlight or anything. And it was hard for me because we didn't exactly know what door he was going to open. But what I felt like through it all, God saying, be patient. So then I finally get a call from the superintendent and said, so I have a spot for you. And I'm thinking, oh, great. Okay. Where would this be? Well, the very northern tip of Minnesota. Wow. Well, let's look into it and see if this is really what God is wanting. We drove all the way up there. This was still, I think, a 9-hour drive past Minneapolis. It was way up there. We get there, very loving people, but we felt God closing that door of saying, no, I have something else for you. And at the time, I didn't know what else it was. But I felt very clearly God say, be patient. And so we saw that door shut, not knowing when another door will open. And several months went by, living in this basement, wondering if I'm going to provide for my family. And we had to endure patiently. Maybe some of you are going through something where God is saying, just be patient. You need to endure patiently for this time as you wait for God to open up that next door. And man, I was right, because later on, God did. He had a door that was open. And that door really blessed our family. And so we know what it is to endure patiently and to wait. And that's what he's telling this church. Endure patiently through the hard times, through the lonely times. Endure patiently. And then he says, and when you do that, I'm going to help you through the trials. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you through all the trials that the whole world will face. And I'm going to help you. Verse 11. I am coming soon. We have to realize that. We don't know the exact day, but he is coming soon. Are you living your life? Are you living your day like Jesus might come tomorrow? What would you do? We need to live each day to the fullest because he's coming soon. And then he says these next few words. It's the same exact line that we heard at the church of Thyatira last week that we looked at. He says these words, hold on to what you have. The Greek word of hold on basically means to cling to, never let go, embrace. What Jesus is saying is, there might be a lot of change that's going on, especially when a bad earthquake happens. There might be some turmoil. There might be some hardship. There might even been some shut doors or slammed doors in your face. Endure patiently and hold on to what you have, which means what? Hold on to Jesus. Never let go. Always cling to him through all the closed doors. Cling to Jesus because you know he's going to have an open door ready for you soon. Put your faith in him. Cling to him. As a church, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we face, guess what we do? We cling to Jesus. We never let go. Because he is the one who holds the key to those open doors, to those blessings in our life. And those, when we cling on to him and when we endure patiently, that he is going to bless us in so many ways. And he has this door that he is going to swing wide open for us. And he's going to say, I am going to bless you. I just need you to hold on. I just need you to be patient. I need you to endure and to have faith. Hold on. Cling to Jesus. So that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious. Oh, and I love how he puts this because of what that church just went through. The one who is victorious. I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. In the midst of a time when this town saw so many buildings fall apart, so many foundations crumble, Jesus is saying, if you hold on to me, that I will be that firm foundation. I will be that strong pillar that you can cling to, that you can hold on to, that will never crumble, that you can have faith in. Let me be that in you. I will be that pillar, that strong pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Why? Because we are children of God. We are his children, and he wants what's very best for us. And then he ends it as he ends every single letter. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are we really hearing what the Spirit has to say for us? Whoever has ears, let them hear. So I don't know what all everyone's going through. I know some things here or there. But through it all, receive the message to endure patiently, to hold on fast to the Lord. So what is this message, or what is the message for our church then? Well, that same very thing. Maybe we haven't gone through an earthquake. But Jesus is saying, in the midst of everything, hold on. Endure patiently. And when we focus on Jesus, and when we cling to him, nothing else matters. And even though we might even see a door shut, but we're going to see how God opens the others. And that's my prayer as we move forward. Because he holds the key, which means he has the authority, which means this is not his church. This is not our church. This is his church, right? He has the key to the church. And so as I pray forward, I don't pray, God, I pray that you will help me do what I want this church to be. No, this is not my church. This is his. So as we move forward and as we pray forward, we pray, God, will you open the doors you want to open, and will you close the doors you want to close? And in the midst of it, while we're facing it, will you help us to endure patiently no matter what? Why? Because he is faithful. When we cling to him, and no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, we are patient and we cling to the Lord. I think that's his word for his church today. Be patient. Cling to him. Seek his face. And life does get difficult, and there will be doors that are slammed right in your face when it doesn't even make sense. But in the midst of it, praise him and cling to him. And he's gonna open it wide open. He is going to bless you. Whatever that decision is, whatever you're seeking, he has a door ready to be open and to lead you through it, and he's going to bless you. Let's pray as a worship band comes back to lead us. Jesus, thank you for your word. Help us, God, to be patient and to endure the hard times. Help us to cling to you, to hold on to you, hold on to what we have. And help us to not get distracted on other things. Or to not look at other things, but to only look to you. And Lord, we just pray as we wait patiently. Lord, we just pray that you will help each and every one of us to rest in your presence, to dwell in you. So Lord, meet us here as we worship, Lord, this morning. Again, I just pray that we'll rest in you. God, that you will speak to us, speak life. May we be reminded that in our weakness, you make us strong. During the shut doors, you have the open ones ready to be open. And that you hold the key, no one else does. You have all authority. May we give you all authority in our lives. Give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. As we worship, let's just do that. Let's just rest, dwell into him, his presence, and let's just rest in him.
Will you stand with us as we sing our closing songs?
I was reading this psalm during part of Pastor Paul's sermon. And it says that the one who sows in tears will reap with joy. And I think some of us, we don't know what we're sowing in our sorrow. And sometimes what you need to do is to cry before the Lord. It also says to pour out your heart like water before him. And I think that's why we're made to cry. But I just wanted to share that as an encouragement, that when we sow in tears, there is a promise that we'll reap with joy. And we don't always know what it is that we're planting during the times of sorrow and sadness. And I think when we sing this song, that's what I think of, is just weeping before the Lord and letting him wash over us, because he carries every tear in a bottle. He carries every tear and he holds every thought. And sometimes we don't have the words to pray. And what you should do is just cry before the Lord. What you should do is just be with him and rest in his presence and trust him that when it's time to reap, that there will be joy, that there will be shouts of joy.